church for nearly 4 years together, and we've planned this church. And so because of all the things that are going on in our world, we are making ourselves available here online today through YouTube. So we hope that everybody who's out there that has come in to join us, we hope that you'll receive something from the Lord today. And we have a few folks here to make this happen today so we can be available to our congregation and to those people who are around the world who want to hear the gospel and the truth, and some hopefully be led to Christ through this ministry. We prayed over our equipment this morning as right before we went live, and we believe that God is going to use this ministry to reach folks with the truth and for the gospel's sake. So I've been in the ministry for 30-plus years, been a pastor for since 1991 in the full-time ministry. And I want to share a few things with you that brought us to this point. We've been contemplating going live with our video stream. We are already on podcast, our podcast on Apple and on Podbean. We're in 30-some countries around the world and most of the states here in the United States. So we've been reaching a lot of people that way, but we wanted to make ourselves available here online because a lot of times I won't be using the board this morning, but a lot of times I use a board and draw things on a board and give definitions to certain things so that you could see those as well if you were watching on YouTube. So we're thankful that you have decided to join us, and we know our churches, all gatherings above 10, I should say, have been called off in our state here in Kentucky. I know some other states have more extreme measures and some have less, but so we're having church this morning here on the internet. So I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and all of his teachings from Genesis to Revelations. And we believe that Jesus didn't show up, didn't just start existing when he came to earth. He existed before the world was formed. So we teach the whole Bible from Genesis through Revelation. We believe all that is the Word of God and is Christ himself. The Bible said that Jesus was the Word made flesh and sent down to us. So the Word and Jesus are one and the same. So here we believe that you cannot have Jesus without embracing his Word. They're one and the same. So Jesus Christ is our goal. He's our Lord and our Savior. We're here to promote him. It's not his will that any would perish, but that all would come under repentance. So we're here to lead people in salvation and all the things of the Lord that the Holy Spirit has to bring and offer to us as his people. The Holy Spirit has been given to us since Christ returned back to the Father to adorn us with the things of the Lord. So we have a lot of things that have been made available to us because of the work of Jesus Christ. So now, what I'd like to share with you is that the name of our church is Living Water Worship Center, and Living Water came out of much prayer from this group early on when we kicked this ministry off. They're in the process of establishing this church. We also, I received a word from the Lord from somebody who I hadn't spoken to in 20 years. And the word from the Lord was that they had seen living water flowing from central Kentucky to the rest of the world. Well, the person that gave me this word, I hadn't seen in 20 years, and they didn't even know I was in central Kentucky. And so they called me and said, I don't really know what this means, and they gave me the word that they had seen me in central Kentucky and living water coming out of central Kentucky to the world. And so we've seen a little bit of that, or probably quite a bit of that with our podcast, but we feel like this is more fulfillment of that prophecy. When she gave me that word, she said, I know you're not in central Kentucky, but that's why I was kind of wondering what this dream meant. And I said to her, I said, you need to sit down because I live in central Kentucky now. And so when we got that word, I shared that word with the church. And then Keith, who's back in the sound booth this morning, when he heard that word, he knew that God was going to continue to raise up our media presence around the world. And that was the confirmation that I needed, because long ago, I'm not sure, I think I just stepped into the ministry. I hadn't been in full-time ministry long, and a man stopped me on the road. Actually, he stopped me. I was in my vehicle, and he was in his vehicle. We came to a stop sign, and he flagged me over, and he gave me a word from God about 30 years ago, and he said to me, the Lord's not going to leave you on the backside of the mountain. And I was really on the backside of the mountain at that time with the ministry because we were way in a holler, if anybody knows what a holler is. But he said, the Lord's going to have your voice go around the world. Well, I had no idea what that meant back then. A computer, as far as I knew, was something about the size of a TV or bigger. And so as things have progressed, we feel like God has brought us to this point and to this day. And so we want to share the gospel with you, and we're going to be coming to you on Wednesdays and Sundays with the gospel. I am primarily an expository preacher and teacher. So, we do use a lot of application, and I do try to define a lot of things with the Hebrew and the Greek. But I spend most of my time in expository ministry with verse upon verse and chapters and chapters. So that's what you're going to get most of the time from me. I do believe God raised me up as an end-time speaker, and I believe that I've spent a lot of extensive time in Revelation. So, and the Holy Spirit is leading us back into that, I think, with our studies. I believe we're living in the last days. So we will spend some time sharing those apocalyptic themes as well from Revelation, the book of Daniel, because we are living in the last days. So we have been designed, not just we, but all of you that are out there that name the name of Christ, you've been called to serve God during this season. And this is not an easy season to live in, although I don't think it's necessarily any tougher season that we're living in now than the apostles lived in when they were coming through. Many of them put their lives on the line. In fact, we have brothers and sisters that are around the world today that are laying their lives on the line. So we need to continue to pray for them. So as we step into this prophetic moment for us as a congregation, we are also stepping into a prophetic moment for the world. We have pestilence and disease that's spreading. And, of course, there are many ways for us to leave this earth. It doesn't have to be a virus. There are many people that are dying every day. So the main thing we want to get across to you is that you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We received a phone call this week of two people we grew up around that their lives were extinguished by hitting head-on with car wrecks. Neither one of them were sick. So you don't have to be sick to leave this life. None of us have the promise of tomorrow. So the gospel is a word for each one of us today. The Bible teaches us that today is the day of salvation. So don't harden your heart and put this off. But I'm going to tell you some things that the Lord spoke to us prophetically about this moment. About 6 weeks ago, I had a word from the Holy Spirit that said, illness is coming, but the Lord said, I'll be working in the midst of that. And then our brother, who is our co-worker, co-laborer in Nigeria, where we've been able to plant two churches and two schools, sent us a word from God over there. And he prayed a powerful prayer over our congregation. So we do believe God has hedged us up as a believers, as a body here, that God is, he's always kept us in front. He's not left us in the dark. And the Bible teaches us that God will not do anything without first revealing it to his servants. And so we are blessed here to have an ear, and we have a lot of folks in this church that spend time in prayer, and a lot of folks that spend time in the Word, a lot of people that hear from the Holy Spirit, and that's been a very source of comfort to us. So we're living in a time where God has kept us in the loop on that. He's protecting us, but he's also wanting us to be a witness. So we live in a great moment to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, especially, and I've said this probably for the last 15 years, especially the peace that we carry with us. When the world's freaking out, whether it's sickness or the stock market's going bananas or the weather, whatever the world is panicking over, we have a great opportunity to witness when they look at us and they see that we're not panicking, that we're not afraid, that the shalom or the peace of God is covering our lives. And that's what we have. If you're a true believer, Jesus said to live, Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, if you're a true believer, you can't lose. If you live, you're in Christ. If you die, you're going to heaven. So there's no way for us to lose. So that should give us a greater level of confidence and should help us to put away fear when fear tries to grip a hold of our lives. And so God has called us for such a time as this, so we want to share the Word with you. And I'm going to get in the Word in just a moment, but I wanted to lay this backdrop for you. And for those of you who may be tuning in to our ministry for the first time, you can get an idea of who we are and what we're trying to do. We have a lot of mission work that goes on out of this church. The Lord has been faithful to us, and we would invite you to join us on YouTube or join us in person. Our intent was not for this live feed to substitute for people being at church. You need to fellowship other believers. You need to be in the presence of the worship and of the Lord. But this is also a great opportunity for people who are away from us, or even our own people who are traveling or couldn't be in service for whatever reason. So for this moment, this time when we're going through this, this is going to be a great tool for us to reach our own congregation and to minister to you who are lost. So we thank you for joining in. So if you have your Bibles today, I want to share a few things with you. If you would, let's go to Exodus chapter 5. I want to take you to Exodus chapter 5. And I'm going to share you a current word for us. And that sounds strange coming out of Exodus, but I want to show you what God did in Exodus. And I believe this is a now moment for us to reflect on what God did with His people in Exodus and what that means to us today. Now, I understand, I believe I have a good grip on the tribulation period and the rapture and all those things that we believe in as evangelicals, and the Lord's return, I believe, is very soon for the church. Then I believe the world will get plunged into great tribulation like the world's never seen, and then Jesus will return with His saints, according to the Scripture. So as we look at Exodus, if you talk to a scholastic person from a Jewish perspective, what went on in Egypt was kind of like a picture of what was going to go on in the end of time. And so I want you to think of it from that perspective. There's so many lessons for us to learn from Exodus and what God did with His people then, and what He's doing with His people now. We look at types and shadows, things that were ahead that show us pictures of things to come. So in Exodus chapter 5, let's go to verse 5. And this is what's going on. You know, most of people probably have heard about the flood and what God did and the people, bringing the people out of Egypt and how He parted the Red Sea and creation and all that. Well, we're to the point where God has designated Abraham's descendants as His people. Okay, God was not exclusive, but He had requirements. So other people could join and be a part of what Israel was doing, but they had to forsake their false gods and come and recognize the only true and living God, who is Jehovah or the Lord, and we know the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Pharaoh said in verse 5, and Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor." So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, so Pharaoh is in charge of Egypt and basically the known world at that time, and he is having God's descendants, or Abraham's descendants, which was God's chosen people at the time, he was having them in bondage. "You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves." And so they were working on behalf of Pharaoh, building cities, building structures, and so now he's making their labor harder and harder. "And you shall lay on them a quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle." So he's making things tougher and tougher and tougher. Now that's the first picture I want you to see. That's how sin works, right? Sin is fun for a moment. It's fun for a little while. But the Bible says, in the end, the wages of sin are death. And actually, the Bible also says that there's pleasure in sin for a season until you wake up one morning with handcuffs on, spiritually speaking. You're captive to that sin. That thing that you're doing that's against God has taken you captive, and you no longer have the freedom of movement. It controls you. And pretty soon, you may enjoy something for a season, and you may tell it when it can happen, how it can happen, and how much it can happen. But sooner or later, if we lay in with sin long enough, it'll be telling us when it's going to happen, how long it's going to happen, and how it's going to happen. That's how sin works. You may think you're controlling it initially, but then as time goes on, sin begins to get a grip in people's lives, and it controls them. Sin, you know people like this. We've all got people like this in our family that sin tells them what to do, tells them when to do it, tells them how to do it, and everybody around suffers for that. And so this is a picture of that in Egypt. And so Pharaoh is like Satan to us. He just wants to make things harder and harder and harder in our lives. And what his real goal is to get us to turn against God. He wants us to turn on God, to not look to God through Jesus Christ as our remedy and as our resource. So I want to say to you once loud and clear that Jesus Christ is still the answer to every question. When they say there's nothing else we can do, there's one that can still do something. Amen. When they say it's finished, there's still one that can come in and save the day, and that's Jesus Christ. And we've had him show up already here this morning to help us this morning as we got ready to come live to you. The devil has fought everything we're trying to do today. And so we know we have an adversary, we have an enemy, but greater is he that's inside of us than he that's in the world. Amen. And so as we look on down here, he's making things harder for them. And he says, you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. So he's not, even though he's making them work harder and go get their own products, he's not reducing the workload. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. So now they're beginning to cry out to God. They know that's where their help is at. If I'm talking to you this morning as a Christian or as a sinner, either one, your help's in the Lord. Everybody is going to come to a place in our lives, all of us, and some of us have already been there. I've been there a few times when no one else could help but God. Everybody in this world is coming to that place sooner or later. You're going to come to a place where no one else can help you but God. And so you need to recognize that and reconcile yourself to that now. Because as we get in situations, there are situations your mother can't help, your brother can't help, your father can't help, your best friend can't help, the pastor can't help. There's places in our lives where only God can help. Now those are good moments if we look to him. But if we look to ourselves, we have a slogan here that we say just about every time we come together. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. You're going to come to a place where no one else can help you but God through the Holy Spirit and by the power of Jesus Christ. That's the only help that'll be there for you. You need to recognize that now and go ahead and step into a new life today with Jesus Christ. Have him in your side. Don't be separated from walking with Jesus Christ. And so this is getting tougher on Israel. They're starting to realize, man, this is not working out for us. And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Get yourself straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered abroad throughout the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. So I know some of you are thinking, well, what's that got to do with the day we're living in? Just hang in there, buckle your seatbelt. Let's get through the turbulence, and then we're going to fly on out of here. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw. Also, the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing thus with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants, and they say to us, make brick. And indeed, your servants are beaten, but the fault is your own people. But he said, you are idle, idle. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Therefore go now and work, for no straw will be given you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota. We know that suicide is rampant in certain sects of our culture, not just here in America, but around the world. And there's a correlation from the destruction and the oppression of sin that relates to suicide. There's another picture here being said, this is what's demanded from me, and I can't do it, and so depression starts setting in. And that happens to a lot of people, because when you get worked up in sin, the devil puts pressure and pushes us and tries to load us up with so many things. And then we start feeling the disappointment of letting other people down. And all that rolls in. It doesn't matter what the sin is, but sin is a big culprit in pushing people to take their own lives because they feel the pressure and the oppression. So the best thing anybody can do is to clear up your life from sin. Step away from it. Embrace Jesus Christ. Sin only has destructive powers in it. That's what it leads to. And so a lot of people feel the weight of things, and the enemy is so talented at making people feel depressed and too heavy and feeling like they're allowing so many people down. And so stay away from sin. That's the situation. That stay away from things that are not pleasing to God so that your mind can stay renewed in the ways of the Lord. And so as they come on down, it says, "Therefore now go work, for no straw will be given you, yet you shall deliver the quota." And also the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, "You shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota." Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood to meet them. And they said to them, "Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us." So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it that you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, neither have you delivered your people at all." Now that's probably a cry that a lot of people fear. You can feel that individually. A lot of people are probably feeling that in our world today. You know, when they look around and they see all the death and destruction, they think, you know, why is it so bad? Why is it? So we know that Pharaoh represents a taskmaster. He represents evil. He represents Satan in a lot of ways that we are held under bondage, right? Now God, here's what happens, and I'm going to say a word to all of us here in America, everybody under the sound of my voice. It's really easy in America to get caught up in the world system. It's easy to get caught up in the world system and not recognize it. The Bible says the god of this world is Satan. The Bible also tells us that this world system is going to fail. So what God's people can be, if they're not careful, they can be lured into that. And you can get comfortable in your bondage or in the world system. And pretty soon, if Christians lay in there long enough, we don't stand out any different than the world. And so folks can look at us and not see a difference because we're so intermingled with the world and its system. That's what happened to Israel. And that's what I'm saying to you. I want to start bringing you into this moment now. Israel got comfortable in their slavery. Their slavery was going to end horribly for them. So God is allowing things to happen around Israel, around his people, to get them stirred up to where they're no longer comfortable in Pharaoh's system. You see what I'm saying? So now we have a situation in our world that's getting a lot of people's attention. What is everybody reminded of? We're all reminded of death. I think it's Enoch that I read one of his writings that they attribute to Enoch, that every man should estimate his own life and see where he's at. This season has caused me to take inventory and to see where I'm at with God and see if I need to grow and get closer to God. Everybody that's under the sound of my voice, with the few folks we have here trying to make this happen today, and all of those that are out there in video land, we're all thinking about death. There's no escaping it. And there are people died at all ages, and I know some people are more prone to this than others, but there are people, so we're all confronted with death again. What does death mean? Death is the finality of things, right? Death brings things to a close for an individual, for a season, for a situation. Death is a finality, and death appears in everything. You know, you may walk outside and you see a tree that's been there for 150 years, and lightning struck it, and death brought that. That's a form of death that brought that season, brought that moment to an end. That happens with people, right? So now we're confronted with that. So since death has been made real to us again, and it's not out of sight and out of mind, the whole world is watching this through different forms of media. What do you think about death? Death is that final resting place for all of us. But there's something beyond death, right? There's something beyond death. According to what the Bible teaches us, there's heaven and hell, right? So we are going to have an eternal destiny somewhere. Every mankind from all over the world, everybody that's been born, is going to have an eternal destiny somewhere. You're either, when you step out of this life into the next life, you're going to step into heaven or you're going to step into hell. Now, God has made a way by sending His Son and by sending the Holy Spirit back to deliver us from our sin and from an eternal destiny that would cause us to live in eternity in torment in the place the Bible calls hell. God has made a way of escape for all of us, and He made that way through His own Son. And some of you out there may be saying, well, what separates Christianity from any other world religion? The resurrection. The resurrection separates Christianity, proven both in the text that we use, the Bible, and also confirmed by the Jews and the Romans at that time. So all of us have a way of escape. God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would have eternal life. So God sent His Son. What does the Lord God Almighty have invested in us and is willing to invest in everyone else? The blood of His Son. He has invested the blood of His Son. I dare say there would be a handful of people in the world that would do what God has done for each one of us. And those of us, we were all astray. We were all sinners. All of us were enemies of God until He reconciled us by His Son, through the work of His Son. Now the Holy Spirit is here using the Word of God, using your testimony, you that name the name of Christ, using you and I as a witness to reach the world. Reaching the lost is more important than building a church. It's more important than building a ministry or anything. Reaching the lost. We cannot get so caught up in our own little world that we forget that there are lost people all around us. Now, we have a world that's tuned in to death. Everybody had to take another look at death this week. Because something that showed up on the scene, it's not something we've been... And I have mercy on everybody, from China to Europe to Italy to America. There's no way we could have got ahead of this. This thing came out of nowhere. We're playing from behind. Everybody's playing from behind. So we shouldn't be too critical on people. Because we're... And listen, this thing come in, it's not like cancer where we've been sitting in a laboratory and trying to learn about it for years after years and all these other diseases. This thing has shown up and just kind of pushed its way into our world, and we're trying to catch up with it. We're trying to play catch up. But what's God doing? That's the word I got about 5 or 6 weeks ago. What's God doing? He is doing. He gave us Psalm 91 too here in this church as a comfort to us and a surety. What's God doing in the middle of this? I believe what God is doing in the middle of this is the same thing He was doing in Egypt. I think He's stirring His people, and He's getting the lost people to look right in the middle of all this and say, hey, I may should take a look at my eternal destiny, because it doesn't have to be a virus to take you out, but that's the most prominent thing now. Like I said, we had people die this week from car wrecks. We've had more people die from the regular flu yesterday than other flu. So we just got to understand that death is a real thing to all of us, and now we're all thinking about it again. We can't escape it. So for a Christian, we're saying, hey, I've got to get myself. And how many of us have learned to do without some things, right? I'm in Kentucky. Some people think they can't live without Kentucky basketball, but we are living just fine without Kentucky basketball, right? And I'll just go ahead and say in Louisville, because basketball is a big deal in this state, right? We're living just fine without it. There are a lot of things. I hate it, and I'm using the drive-thru as much as I can because I'm a patronizer. I believe in, and I'm not living in fear. I take care of myself. I'm more astute to do that. But I want to keep our business. I want to help my local people, brothers and sisters. I want everybody to make it through this, right? But we are living in a time where God is letting us know there's a lot of things we can do without. I've not been in a restaurant in the last few days, but I'm still alive, and a lot of times I am in a restaurant with meetings and things. So what we're learning is that this world system can move itself away from us very quickly. And so now what are we going to do? We're going to take another look at who God is, what he's really after. If he's going to destroy this world someday, then what should be our goal? What should we really be looking at? And I'm going to take you to the New Testament and show you that, what I think the Lord's speaking to us. So sometimes Christians can get comfortable in a system. Sometimes God's people can get comfortable in a system. And so God uses certain things to get our attention, to wake us up, and to say, hey, don't get comfortable in your position. Don't be living for this world. Don't forget that your neighbor two apartments down or three houses over is still lost. And you're worried about where you're going to eat at a restaurant every day, right? God wants us to refocus, I believe, and get refocused on his plan. That's what he's trying to do with Christians right now. Get us refocused on his plan so that we can say, hey, this world is not where it's at. We don't belong to this world. We're just passing through. We all got to remember we're just passing through this world. So let me take you to the New Testament. I'm going to close and just give me a few more minutes and I'll close. It's my first time doing this, so bear with me. And let's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to take you there and I want to show you how God uses certain situations to turn us away from the world, to turn us off to the world. And so God uses that. That's how he moved Abraham around, by turning Abraham off and moving him on. Sometimes God, we can get so caught up in things that we're not focused on the things that God wants us to have. So I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3. I'm sorry, let me take you to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, this is where I want to give you a little instruction this morning about this moment. He says in Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now see, that's what we can get confused about. We can get so caught up in this life. I personally have to guard against this too. You don't have to be in some kind of sin to get distracted. How many know what I'm talking about? You can, as a Christian, you can get distracted and not be in a sin, right? It's just something, and then that thing can become too important to you, and then it could become sin because it becomes idolatry in your life if you're not careful. But you don't have to be caught up in a particular sin mentioned in Scripture to get distracted or get overcome by things. And so he says, if you then are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Now, that's what's happening in my life. I'm trying to evaluate my life and see if I'm seeking things that are above or if I'm just seeking. Now, I know there are things we got to do, and I agree, I'm a blessed man. God has blessed me. I'm a blessed man in every kind of way. I've got great family, great friends. The Lord meets all of my needs. I got a house payment like everybody else, but he provides the means to pay that and have electricity. I'm a blessed man. I've got good shoes on this morning. But we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in the blessings and forget the blesser. See, that's what I think God does in seasons like this. That he when these things are allowed to happen in our world or maybe in your personal life, they're used to get us refocused, to get our attention, okay? To make first things first, the main thing, which is Jesus Christ, his word, and the will of God in our lives. That's the main thing. So God uses these moments to do that. And he says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. That's our call. How can we be seated in heavenly places with the Lord? So I want to address something. Some people are probably already in the back of their mind saying, are you saying God sent this sickness? Not necessarily. There are times when he sent plagues. We know that. But I'm not saying God sent this specific plague. But if you go back to the garden, sin is the reason there are any plagues. Without Adam and Eve failing, there was going to be no death. When they failed, sin entered in, and it opened the door to all this stuff. There are specific times when God does judge people, judge the world, judge nations. We see the Bible's filled with that. I've not heard a word from God on whether he sent this himself or it's just the result of our sin just continuing to push us out into risky places, is what I'd like to say. Because sin pushes you and I out into risky situations. And so for whatever reason it's here, God has allowed it. And so now God is working in the midst of that. That I do know. And what he's doing in our lives, he's trying to do get us back to Colossians 3. He wants us, and I'm going to read these two verses again. If you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting in the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, my work has increased because we're out trying to help folks. So I'm not slowed down, but a lot of folks are staying in more, and that's good. You should. I understand that. I'm very careful and diligent about being sanitary, and I wash my hands all the time. I'm surprised I got any skin left this morning. But my work's not slowed down. It's increased. There are lots of people that we're going to try to get food to this afternoon, all kinds of things we're doing. But if you're at home in an unusual circumstance, and you spend all that time, and I know we're on the, coming through the computer right now, so take this with a grain of salt. And you're going to spend all that time in front of your computer and watching television and doing other things, and there's a moment for all that, and not spend more time with God in prayer and His Word, as a Christian, you're missing it. This is your moment. If you have to go to work every day and now you don't for a few days or a week or two, give God some more time. This is our moment when God, and I promise you, those of you that are true, I give you a word of prophecy right now. Those of you that have been true to God and faithful and honored Him with your tithing, your money, and your service and your love, He will take care of you through this. The faithful will be seen through. That's how God works. He works that way all the time. But if you're home or if you're in a different situation, spend more time with God. Give Him some more moments in your life. It's a great time because He's talking right now. There's people in our church that God's speaking to during this moment for personal reasons, and we've had some for corporate reasons. So spend more time with God. Read more. Spend more time around Him. This is your moment. Don't miss this moment for a week, two, or a month and then get back to work and say, I'm so tired I can't read. Well, you're missing your moment. And what you'll do if you get a few weeks of this in, that's how you change habits. Instead of coming in and watching TV for 4 hours, you start reading the Word and maybe other things that are good about that, and you start changing your behavior that way. This is a good moment for us Christians to change our behavior. If you were hooked on some kind of sport and it's not on, don't get out videotapes. Just do without it for a while. And I say that with all due respect because I played ball all the way through college. I'm not against sports. I'm just saying, give God some more time. I'm pleading with you about that. Give God some more time. Get your children around the table. Do a devotional with them. You don't ever get to do that. They're up and going out the door to school, and you're going out the door to work or whatever. This is a different moment. Get that time in. Every moment you get with God's Spirit, with His Word, and with Jesus Christ, you're bettering everybody in the house. Can somebody say amen? So this is the day when usually if there's only three people say amen, I say, can I get some more amens? But okay, it's just okay today if three people say amen. So okay, for you died and your life is hidden in Christ, he says. When Christ is our life, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death the members which are on earth. And he goes into a whole list of things about what he wants us to put to death. So, in yourselves you once walked. So, what I'm saying to you is this is a moment for Christians to change behavior. There a couple of years ago, and I'm changing behavior physically and spiritually. That's what's happening. There are transformations. So, about 2 years ago, when I had some meetings in Chicago with people involved in Israel, usually I go in December and my family goes with me and I do meetings some of the day and we have a family outing as well. Well, there are so many doorknobs and so many things you'll do down in Chicago. Had I practiced, my son wound up sick, I wound up with the flu and on the trip and somebody else wound up with the flu or two of us wound up with the flu when we got back. I was just thinking, well, you know, if I would have been a hand sanitizer back in that time, we may not even got the flu. So there are some good things. You can change your behaviors now. Now, let me say this. I'm going to go one more place before I close and give you a final word. If you're a non-believer, now's your day to change, period. You need to get with Christ. Somebody said, well, I don't think I'll get the virus. Just like I said, the two folks that hit head on this week, neither one of them had the virus. They both left here. You don't have to have a virus. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Do not harden your heart. So I'm talking to a Christian who's that person who comes in every evening and says, I don't have enough time to do nothing. Restructure. Change your behavior. Quit getting used to your bondage. Get out of it. Get in the Word. Get more active in your witnessing. This is a time for us to witness. Witness those of you that may be cooped up in your home. Start writing some letters to people you care about. A letter is better than an email, text, or a phone call because it hits them. They get to take it into their moment. They get to sit by themselves and digest it with nobody around. And then that letter lays there on the counter or on the desk or on the dresser or in the dresser drawer, and it's picked up again 2 years from now or whatever. Write some people some letters. Reach out to some people and change your behavior. Get in the Word more. Pray more. This, I believe, is a birth pang. This is not the tribulation period. This is not the end of time per se. But I think this is like a woman who's going to give birth. She's starting to feel the pangs a little bit. This kind of situation is totally, totally doing its own thing. And I heard a guy who worked for the CDC for 30 years and retired. He said, sometimes we do all we can do, and this stuff still has to run its course. So, you know, there's only so much men can do. That's why I said when they say there's nothing else to do, there's still one that can do something, and his name is Jesus Christ. So you need to remember that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you're looking out there, and I'm trained to look around this congregation, so I'm going to try to look at the camera. I'm going to try to get better at looking at the camera sometime. So we need to modify. This is a great time to modify your behavior, to retrain yourself in the ways of God. And God allows things to get his people refocused, right? So he wants you and I to be refocused. And when you come out of your wherever you're at, when you get back into a normal life, don't keep your mouth shut. Witness, witness, witness. Let people know that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And I'm going to end with that. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus is talking about the Great Tribulation, which is the seven-year period like the world's never seen. Now, I've said this to folks lately that if you think this is bad, it's nothing compared to what's coming. But we have an opportunity to escape that. And that's what Jesus is going to tell us here. This is the only place in the Scripture that Jesus alludes to the rapture of the church, the catching of the way, catching away. So the word rapture is not in the English Bible, and some people would argue that. But the Latin word for that in the Latin Vulgate is rapturo. We borrowed that word, and that happens all the time. I study languages, and that happens all the time. So rapturo, we borrowed that word, made it rapture. But the Greek is hapogesomatha, and it means to be plucked out, called out, pulled out, snatched out. And that word translated in Latin to rapturo, we brought it over. We use the word rapture, and Paul talks about being called up. So all that works together. It's the same thing, right? So here in Luke chapter 21, Jesus gives us a warning when he's talking about the tribulation period. So I want to give you a little heads up, right? He says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing. A good word for that in the English would be partying, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Now, there's people that fit into all three of those categories, partying, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Cares of this life may be getting more people than the other two, because sometimes church folk, so-called, get caught up in the cares of this life, and church is not really a place where they plan to meet with God. It's just another place they check on their checklist. I went to church this week. So you can get caught up in anything. There are people who are addicted to anything, food, comic books, anything. So Jesus has given us a warning here, right? He says, but take heed. So that's a word, Dolly. I would use that word today in the situation the world's in. I would say to the world, take heed. This is a birth pang, But you need to look to Jesus, because things are what the Scripture teaches us, the world's headed for trouble. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. So there is the old prophets talk about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord encompasses, that's a catchphrase for the rapture, the tribulation period, and then when the Lord comes back to the earth with his saints. They said 10,000s of his saints, right? Jude said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000. So you got to get up there to come back. So anyway, the day of the Lord is spoken of that whole time frame, okay? So when he says that, he says, be careful that day don't come upon you unexpectedly. Let me say another word to you. Since none of us have the promise of tomorrow, you cannot let death come upon you unexpectedly. So how do I do that, preacher? None of us know when we're going to die. You're right. None of us know. That's why we need to be saved today. That's why you need to come to Christ today, because you don't know. That's how you cannot be caught off guard with death, because you're ready from this day forward, right? You're ready from now forward, so you don't be called off. And then he goes on to say, he says, for it will come on a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. So this is kind of like a trial run, right? We woke up one morning and virus is going all over the world. That's like a trial run, okay? So we're using a little bit of scripture here to understand this is a little preparation work, right? Everything we do from Exodus, where I started, if you understand the scripture, it's all types and shadows of God's plan and then fulfillment of it as we see it come forth in the New Testament. And so your Bible is built around two main themes. Jesus is coming and Jesus is coming. He's coming the first time to be born of a virgin, to die and be resurrected. That one's happened. He's coming again to receive us to his own and to judge the world and to set up a new kingdom. Your whole Bible's built around those two themes. And then finally he says, for it will come on a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Look what he says. Watch therefore and pray how much? Always. Do you pray once a week? Move it up, Christian. Do you pray a minute a day? Move it up, Christian. We need to be hearing from God. We need to be protected by God. Do you pray 10 minutes a day? Move it on up. Do like George Jefferson and Wheezy did. Move on up. I know that was to a certain level of audience out there, age-wise. Just move it on up. Do what I'm saying to you is, I'm not being a Pharisee or legalistic. I'm not saying you have to do what I do or I have to do what you do. I'm just saying whatever you're doing, take it on up. It's time to take it on up. We're living in perilous times. Paul said these would be dangerous times for us. Take it on up. What good's praying going to do? A lot better than anything else you could do. What good is the Word of God going to do? A lot better than anything else you could do. Move it on up. Move on up. Up there where George and Wheezy's at. He says, watch therefore, pray always that you may be counted. Here he goes. Worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I want to point some things out and I'm going to close. Number one, Jesus is talking here. He's telling us to be on guard. These kind of situations help us to refocus and be on guard. This kind of situation with this virus. So be on guard, not just physically. If you're a Christian and the only way you're being on guard is physically, you're missing what the Holy Spirit's doing. The Lord said, illness is coming, I'm going to be working in the middle of it. So don't just be on guard physically. And I'm saying that, and I am. I am on guard physically. Every time I get in my truck, I hand sanitize and do my steering wheel. Every time I get out, I do the same thing. And I do it. Sometimes I'm doing it multiple times if I'm in a situation where the public's at. That's good. But that can't be the only thing I'm doing. If flesh is all there is to it, then I'm wasting my time doing this podcast and this YouTube video. It's not all there is to it. There's something more important than your flesh, and that's your spirit, man or woman. And so move it up with both of them. Move it on up. Move it on up. I'll probably be a hand sanitizer the rest of my life. It's just a good practice because I handle doorknob after doorknob after doorknob. And I shake hands with everybody but the devil. And probably shook hands with him, didn't know it. So the Lord's saying, take heed. That's a strong word. Then he's saying, don't let your hearts be weighed down with what? What's going on in the world. But that's what God uses moments like this for, to get our attention. Don't be caught up in the world. There's more going on. There's more going on in the heavenlies than there is in the world. Could you believe that? There's more positioning, there's more warfare, there's more clashes between Satan and his cohorts and Michael and the angel. There's battles going on. When Gabriel came to Daniel, Daniel prayed for 21 days. And Gabriel said to Daniel, I heard you the first day. He said, but I've been up here duking it out with the prince of Persia that's over this area. In other words, there's a demonic presence that's trying to keep me from getting to you. But guess what? I won. Here I am. See, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You, if you're a believer, go read Psalm 91. That'll be your comfort and your strength during this moment, during this season. I preached on that last Sunday. It's on the podcast. Go read Psalm 91 and realize God's got you under control. So God's taking this situation. He's waking up Christians. He's telling us, don't be caught up in this world. Remember, there's a lot more going on than what you're seeing, right? And then he says, watch therefore, and he says, don't pray always that you'll be ready to escape when the real tribulation comes. This is just a small thing compared to what we read about in Daniel, Revelation, and what Jesus talks about in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and here in Luke 21. So God is using this. Now, maybe you're doing well in your Christian walk. That's great. Take it up. Think how much God can, you know, surrender some more. Let him have some more of your time. Let him have some more of your mind. Surrender more. Let's finish this race with a bang. Let's finish this race strong. Because I believe we're living in the last days. I believe there's a good chance that all of us may see the Lord return for us. That's how close I believe we are. I believe we're in that terminal generation. I believe the countdown started when Jerusalem left the hands of the Gentiles in 1967 and went back into the hands of Israel. I believe that's when the countdown started. So I want to encourage you. We're doing a lot of things around here to take care of ourselves physically, but we're also doing things spiritually. The ministry, we have to reach people, certain people who are vulnerable in our flock and in our community. We're trying to reach out to others. So we want to encourage you to do the same. Be strong in the power and the might of the Lord in your spirit person, and also take care of yourself physically. And the Lord will use us during this moment. I want to thank all of you all for tuning in. These services are going to change as we get back to normal, but for now, I'm going to just be up here preaching and teaching. And so I want to thank all of you guys for joining us out there in YouTube land, whether you're watching us on a phone or a tablet or a computer or a TV. I think you can get YouTube on televisions now. So whatever you're doing, we thank you for joining in, and we appreciate your time and attention. We're going to be here every Wednesday and Sunday from now on. We're going to be here, and if times like this persist, we're going to continue to roll. But even when these times are over, we're going to be back to our normal church services, and we'll still be going live. We're also going to work on me being able to go live from my home, because I've had this in my heart that as we go to the end of time, I am connected around the world with some folks. If I get some information and I want to get it out to you, then I'll get on Remind. I'll send a notice out and say, hey, pastor's going to be live Monday evening at 6:30. He's got something he wants the church to hear about Israel or about the Middle East or whatever. So we want to get our capabilities because we're living in a different time. Thank all you guys that came out today to help me and to support this ministry. Also, I want to say thanks for all you guys that have been reaching out to other people in the flock. Many of you are doing things financially for other folks that are more at risk, and we appreciate that. We're doing some of that here at the church as well. I want to thank you all for this. Whoever's listening out there, this is for the church, the flock. We take our offerings up at the back door. We're not going to beg for money. We don't do that. But those of you that are shut in, I know how I feel about tithing. I want to get it out of my hands to the Lord. You can mail those things in or drop them off to church. But our P.O. Box is 2167 Danville, Kentucky. That's Living Water. And we are here through the week, in and out, and you can drop those things off and continue to support the ministry. Because we're not, no matter what happens in our offerings or tithes like that, our missionaries are getting their money. We're not stopping any of that kind of stuff. So, you know, we just ask you to be faithful. And I know many of you have already been dropping your tithes off and mailing them in, and we really appreciate that. And so we're thankful. But our footprint is in Israel, Russia, Costa Rica, Africa, two Indian reservations here in the United States. Locally, we have a food pantry, and we take care of other needs locally. And I'm missing some of our mission. China, we're in China, and I'm still missing somebody else. I said Africa, Nigeria, Israel. But all of our missions, we're not backing off from that. That's what the devil wants the church to do. He wants for us to back away. We're not backing away. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this moment we've had today. Thank you for all those that have tuned in to us today. Thank you for all those that came to help us make this happen today. We thank you, Lord, for having the ability to get the equipment this quickly. Thank you for the favor we have with our sound company and video company. We just praise you for that, Lord, to be able to have that happen in 2 days. And we're just thankful for you for that, for providing that. And we just pray, Lord, that as we go forward, that you'll protect our people from this outbreak. And, Lord, we pray that those that have contracted it, we pray that you'll make yourself known to them, that they'll see you. Some that are saved, we pray for their full recovery. Those that are lost, we pray that they'll turn to you and that they'll also be fully recovered, Lord. Use this moment, Lord, to reach the lost and to wake up the Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. We're signing off to you all. We'll be back here on Wednesday night this week. God bless you.